Just a second. I'll be ready in just a second.
Okay, it's on.
Yep.
All right, we're here to talk about CLP as we move through FY15 into 2016 and or the fiscal year 2016 and how we're going to accommodate the transition cost. First thing we need to start with is, so this is a two-pronged conversation as I see it. It's a re-estimated budget for FY15 and talking that through, and then it's talking about what we need to have in order to complete the transition in 2016. So with that, Michelle, I'll turn it to you. If you want to start with anything, we can sure start, or we'll go right to revenues.
I'm going to wave, and you guys can go right to revenues.
Okay, we'll go right to revenues. I need to share with everybody, I got a really, really nice note. Michelle and I got a really nice note this morning from Ron Christensen, and he reminded me, rightly reminded me, that when we plugged in our numbers for last year, our revenue numbers for last year, we made some assumptions of what rates were going to be. The reality, and I think there were good, solid assumptions. I think, as I recall, we had a really long conversation about those assumptions, and this board ended up going with what this board went with, and then we found out that those assumptions were not accurate.
Correct.
The rates ended up being less, in a few cases dramatically less than we expected. And so we're going to see the resulting reduction in our actual revenues. Michelle, anything to add there?
No. What he offered was correct.
Yeah. I think he was dead on. I really appreciated him reminding me of that conversation. I think I would have remembered, but I think it was completely appropriate and right. So do we want to talk about any of that? Do we feel like the $2,888,000 is a good re-estimation of our revenues for FY15?
I believe they're going to come in short of that.
Okay. Where do you think they're going to? Let's just go through it.
I've got a month into this, but
yep.
I know that as I look at it, I think that number is going to be high by probably $400,000.
Okay.
And that's just my gut telling me, because I think we're going to see services dwindle here towards the end. I think there will be turnover and there'll be some service issues that we have. People will select to move on to other providers. And I think a lot of it will be a better picture in a month when the new provider's announced and we can see how that transition's working. But
yep.
I would be concerned. I think a couple $100,000 a month is a number we can look at, but $2.8 million I think is a little strong.
Okay, and so let's just go through so that we can get a re-estimated budget, and I really appreciate that, Chris. Let's just go through. So we're at 17% year-to-date in local government payments, right, of what we've actually collected. This is as of December 31st, correct, Lisa? Clearly we're not going to hit the $800,000 mark that we had projected there. But where do we stand when we look at the 396? Is that attainable? Is that unrealistic? Let's plug a number in there. Maybe it's a little high, but a realistic number, Chris.
And these would be the revenues that would come from our region or other regions. So be services that are not covered by Medicaid.
I really can't answer
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's such
and
a difficult.
And I apologize for.
No. Don't apologize for anything. We need to have this conversation, and we need to do the best we can.
Yeah.
And this is simply for us to be able to understand where we're going to finish FY15, and if we need to do any budget amendments or anything else to finish off FY15 with a dramatic decrease in what we budgeted in revenues, holding everybody harmless. I mean, it is what it is, and we just got to deal with it. But we need to be able to make plans in as rapid a fashion as possible. So, Chris, I think what I would ask then is if we want to just hold on the revenues and let you go back and dig into it just a little bit, and I'm not looking for exact dollars or hold you to anything. I'm looking for good, solid estimates of where we're really going to come in. And here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to suggest we do right here. We circle the $2,888,527 that we've got re-estimated right now, and we write in pencil, figuratively, $2.4 million that we think that's going to come in. But, Chris, I need you to dig in to for me where you think that's happening, where our hits are going to be so that Lisa can get some good solid re-estimates, and we'll see where that really pencils out, where we expect we're going to be for FY15. Is that okay with you, Lisa?
Yeah.
And then if we need to do a callback over all that, we can. I don't think it's a callback thing because it is what it is. I just want to know what it is so that we can, or best guess at this point of what it is so we can make our plans.
And then, quite frankly, like I told Michelle yesterday, the $325,000 for next year is based on that I think there will be some revenue seepage over the fiscal year, you know. So I really want a good number there. I think that was me putting in a number based on what I'm seeing coming in every month.
Right. So, Chris, we're going to ask you for those two things, for you and Michelle to work together to get us those two things, and just visit with Lisa as soon as you can get them. You publish the budget February 20th?
Right.
All right, so you got a month.
Oh, I won't need nearly that.
Okay. All right.
The only thing I would add, too, and Chris, you and Carla haven't met yet. okay. But she's one that initially sees the e-claim that comes over for the regionally funded system, services. So we can take a look at that, too, going back to July. And because I think it has decreased over the months compared to fiscal year 14. So we can help with that information, too.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so we'll move on. We'll move on from revenues. Again, as we look at our expenditure budget, we want to try to deal with both the re-estimated and what we think we need to plug in for next year, so that we can plan this thing out as thoughtfully as possible. I mean, this has been one of those items, and Michelle knows this better than anybody else, that you really have not had time to think through what your plan is going to be because you're just trying to put out one fire after another, and I'm sorry. I mean, hopefully you knew exactly what it was when we asked you to do it, but that's what it is. And now we've got to just deal with it. For the three of us, we just need to be able to unwind this thing in as reasonable and thoughtful a way as possible. And so that requires up to date as possible re-estimations and as good and solid of swag numbers, for lack of a better term, for FY16 of where we think it is. So if you guys wouldn't mind, let's just run through this and see if you think we're way off base on any of this stuff. Now I'll start. Staffing, clearly staffing has got to be the thing you wake up thinking about and go to bed thinking about, Michelle.
Absolutely.
How do we look here? I think the staffing side, Chris, is that 75 we're just plugging you in for after July 1st? Is that where that 75 is coming
35
from?
35 was from Lisa once again, and I told these
So
guys,
let's just talk just, it through.
Yeah. What do you think is going to be there? What do you think you're going to need?
I think that we're probably a little high for – you've got 150 between the two line items. If you just look at them collectively.
Right.
150. I think that number is probably about 115.
115.
So that would allow us 2 weeks because this is the cash basis. So there will be a payroll after we close business on 6/30. That would cover one payroll plus I had me in there for the remainder of my time, as well as I thought we probably would have a couple staff that just were kind of cleaning up things, you know, in that transition. So I had a little bit of dollars in there extra for, you know, a couple weeks for a few more staff that are just kind of turning out the lights.
Okay, but you think it's $115,000 total between those two?
I think $115,000 gets
What's the right way to split it just as we – Only because I'm a stickler, I liked it.
Right.
Uh-huh. I think it should just all be in pay plan.
Just all in pay plan, and then we'll use it where we need to use it.
Am I right or wrong? Or does it matter?
I don't know.
You envision the staff.
I don't think
which
it matters.
I don't view them being union staff.
No.
Right.
Yeah, the union staff will transition into the new per rider. Right.
But if we've got the one pay period, we're still going to have some union staff that we're paying in that one pay period. So it means that not the full 115. Wherever we plug it in,
It's going to be. It's going to be staff. I mean, it's going to. It doesn't.
So you could do 35 and
70 and 80.
Whatever.
What is that? Yeah, 35. Let's do that. Let's do 30.
In addition to the actual salaries, did you put anything in for payouts, vacation payouts?
I did not.
and in the stay pay, even though
the stay pay,
even though the region's paying for it, we're going to have to probably budget as a revenue and pay. I mean, unless you have a different way how we're going to.
Actually, what I did with the whole stay pay regional blah, blah, blah was I put in a million under contractual labor out of the mental health fund. I put in $1 million. Okay, which I thought would cover stay pays, which I thought would cover any vacation payouts, any types of payouts, because the region has agreed to
for
that.
For the stay pay, but not the payouts. The payouts.
Okay.
Payouts rest with us, but the stay pay rests with the region, so we need to make sure we plug in a revenue line item in order to pull those dollars.
How are you going to transfer? I'm just...
Yeah, you're right.
Just think that through, and let's make sure that those equal.
Okay.
So, can
we can do a snapshot right now what the vacation payouts are going to be. I mean, it's not.
Let's do it and get it plugged in.
I think I did that. I did that already once.
Yeah, you did, and I'm not so sure I didn't use those dollars in my 75 and 75 just as a thought, you know, could pay that too.
Would that include comp time too?
Yeah, you got to pay out comp and vacation.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, so we'll get those plugged in.
So it might be closer to the 75 each.
So right now, leave this as is, or put.
Well, we went to 80 and 30, but then we've got some additional areas that we're going to have to come
first
back
one
and
will
plug
be
in.
The 80 and the 30. Okay.
Okay, so we're going to have to come back, and I don't know that we need everybody back,
right.
but this board is going to need to get back together and talk through where we end up once you guys have time to put some of this stuff together and we make sure that we've got everything accounted for, we got revenues where appropriate. To cover it. Okay. Anything else that we need to talk about before we get more to the facility side of this thing? Chris, Michelle, is there any other items we need to go through?
I think there's some items in here. Obviously, the whole flex benefits.
Yeah, that's
How that's going to
I didn't give you my spiel.
So FICA gets adjusted based on whatever number we end up with,
right.
As does IPERS.
Yep.
I think we're going to still need a little bit for postage and mileage and those kinds of things. I mean, you're talking $350 total between those two lines, $100 and maybe $250 in total. I had some concerns over communication services and rental equipment maintenance, whether we were contractually obligated anywhere. The phone system costs us about $25,000 a year for those lines and all that. And I don't know. I haven't seen the
contract. As I understand, we're just leasing those.
We don't own those phones. We're just leasing them.
And
so
we can get out of that when we need to.
Okay, I just had a concern whether or not there was a buyout or anything like that on any of that. Rental equipment, I assume that was probably copiers that could just get moved somewhere else within the system as needed. But I did have some concerns there on communication. And then work comp, I didn't know. Based on when we pay them, there's probably going to be some work comp costs that are going to need to be accrued in there as well. And I used 4.6% just as a number, but I don't know what the work comp rate is for sure. But
we need to put something in there for that, or do?
Well, if you still have some working.
I put the $655,000 in the other for unemployment. But for work comp, he's probably right. We might have to have some.
A little.
We're going to have to redo that.
All right, so here's what I'm going to suggest now. As this conversation moves on, it feels to me like we need to have some more staff-level conversations. You guys, probably the four of you, Michelle, Chris, Alyssa, and Lisa, get together and just really start to talk these things through, what you see, and then let's come back. Let's do a call back with these guys, and let's come back and really talk through those items, okay? So we're going to push those off on the side now and let you guys go work on them for a week or so, and then we'll get a call back and we'll come. Let's talk about your part of all this and where you think we are and where you – because I think we might be able to plow through that part of this.
Paige?
Well, it starts with custodial supplies, doesn't it, at 18,000. Okay. Maybe it starts 61. And ends there.
61, okay. Yep, okay.
No Help me out. Are we on page?
I'm on page 61.
Oh, for your narrative, hon, it's on page 68.
Yeah, if you, we want to go to your narrative, we can do that.
On page 58, you said?
68.
68.
Narrative for that.
Okay. Okay.
Going to spend 10 so far this year, but you're projecting 18 for next year. As we go through this, we're going to need more custodial supplies as we make the transition.
I think we just mirrored off of last year.
Last year, that was what we said we'd
budget. So, yeah. In reality, it was all just a guesstimate of what we've got to come.
And what I'm looking at is, so far this year, we've spent $39.43 in custodial supplies. We're talking about re-estimating that down from 18 to 10. I'd like to know if we can just keep that at 10 for next year, which is what I think we're going to spend this year.
All right.
Okay?
Okay.
All right. And then next is the utilities. That kind of is what it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, we're hoping that we're going to get, depending on where things go, we're going to get reimbursed for some of these utilities, but we're going to be spending these dollars as long as we own the building. Is that right, Lisa?
Correct. And then that leads me to another conversation we're going to have, which is some sort of revenue code, revenue line item, revenue for what we think is going to be...
For becoming a landlord.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We had talked about both scenarios as far as utilities go. If the county wants to continue having those in their name, or if we wanted to shift those to the new provider.
I would really like them to see go to the new provider to have a little responsibility on accountability on how they use.
I'm 100% with you that I think a new provider needs to be responsible for the cost of utilities. I'm hesitant to sign our utilities over to somebody else because I want to know what's going on with those. So if a new provider got in a tough financial bind and was not able to make a payment, I'd rather them not make the payment to – we almost become a pass-through, right? We're paying the bill and they're paying us, but then that gives us a level – we know our utilities aren't getting shut down there and all the problems that go along with that, at least as we start to figure out what this relationship looks like. Second part is – this board may choose to subsidize somebody's operation there, and if we do choose to do that, a natural line item would be as part of the utilities, and if we plan on maintaining our expense, but we put in a line item to hopefully collect some revenue, I think that gives us the most control there. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're asking me.
Absolutely.
Anything?
No, I was just trying to pick up.
You don't even want to know where I thought of this at. I'm wondering if we aren't going to switch some of these to the general fund, their building costs.
Their building costs is probably
the same. And they're not our program anymore. So.
Just check and see what we're allowed to do. I mean, our capacity now with some of the other changes we're making from general supplemental, I don't know that we've got a whole lot more capacity in one
than the
over
other,
the other. No. Used to be the supplemental, we had a lot more capacity.
Right.
Now I'm not sure we do, so I don't know that it matters a whole lot.
I think it does when it comes to what the supplemental fund can be used for.
We may find that it just can't, absolutely. But I don't think we're hurting when we talk about an additional $60,000 right now in the general fund.
Well, and my thought process is that we're going to have some rental dollars coming in, and that will go into the general fund.
Correct.
And the $60,000 possibly is just a... just-in-case holder.
Yeah. All right. But we feel good about the 60. The cost of utilities for that building is going to be somewhere right there in that $60,000 range.
Well, that's, like in my budget the other day, we've talked all the utilities, and it sounds like they're all talking about trying to get some kind of an increase. The city's told us that they're going to ask for 4%. Whether that happens or not, we won't know until... they've decided on that, but we plugged it in anyway on our numbers there if it comes true.
So. Yep. Okay. Next one is general repairs and maintenance. Cal, under you. Can you take us through that, where you think that is?
Well, we're probably a little high on this.
Okay.
And, you look at our spending, we've been extremely down. Our biggest expense has been keeping the heating and cooling running. That is probably going to, I hope that's going to come to an end. We're going to get that settled. But a lot of this, you know, is things we have to do, the inspections and that sort of thing. And depending on the agreement with the new provider on such as lawn care and snow removal, that sort of thing, we don't know where that's going to fall. So,
how about if we plug 35 in for now? And then we would change. I mean, that seems like we think we're going to end up spending 30 all said and done this year. How about if we plug 35 in right there?
Yeah, one of the things that jumps out to me is that the keys and the keyless entry maintenance, you know, we talked about probably not continuing that.
That will go away. But the other thing is to convert back to a keyed system,
a cost.
We're going to have some expense there.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to leave something in there.
Right.
If that, which it probably will change.
Those keyless entry pads would be reusable, right?
Yes, yes.
So that'll help the inventory that you talked about you'd like to have.
We could, yeah, yeah. We can use those, reuse those in our other buildings. So,
okay. So as you consider making the change over, what kind of cost would you expect it to take to get rid of the keyless entry and just go to a keyed system over there? You got $2,500 in there right now for that total line item. I'm just not sure that's
so enough. You're looking at
$1,000 in there.
You're looking at what? How many doors? You're talking just your.
We've got our main entry.
Main entry day.
On mag locks now.
Right.
Back entry.
And
they're
back
all
in,
on mag locks.
Okay.
So it would have to come out.
Right.
And we'd have to go back to conventional.
Yeah.
Right.
Type of locking
right.
System. So.
And then you've got your door on your south side, which is towards the.
Rec hall.
That's
mag lock. So
right.
$1,000 to $1,500.
Yes, yeah, so, and you got 25 in there right now. So we reduced you down to 30 or down to 35. Let's just leave it at 35. And Cal, if as you start to do some of this actual work, we see it different, just let us know. We're going to put enough in to cover what we need to do with that building over the next year.
And like I've mentioned before, the whatever happens there. The carpet is at the end of its life in that building. Whether we're going to have to spend the money to put down new carpet if somebody moves in there, or how that's going to work out is yet to be seen.
Yep. So that'll be part of our conversation with as we figure out how that building is going to be utilized and by whom. Anything else there, or can we go on to group home general repairs and building maintenance?
No, I think we can move on to group homes.
What, Deb, generally, what's going to end up happening here? I know we don't have any deals made yet, but this provider or providers that we're talking to, are they talking about taking all the group homes? What's happening?
They're talking about taking all of them. They want to transition the one closest to the admin building to do something else with.
Okay. Have we ever split that property? So that's on one parcel right now. Cal, do you know this?
It was to... I mean, it has two street addresses. I thought they were two parcels.
I thought we dug in.
If you click it on the assessor's website, it shades the both of them together.
Yeah,
I'm
afraid it's one parcel. I'm afraid we've run into trouble with a campus type.
Well, and let's talk about that just briefly, because in talking to the provider, their interpretation of what federal Medicaid is looking at is even if it was two separate parcels, it's still adjacent
mm-hmm.
to the admin building, so it's still probably not going to fall within the Medicaid interpretation of community inclusion. So even if we went through the work of separating them into two parcels, it's still not going to.
Huh.
So that just means we look at a different use. Or it could continue as an RCF. We just won't be able to provide Medicaid services there, so the region would fund.
Okay. But they're talking about using it differently than an RCF.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So group homes, what do you need to be able to do what needs to be done with the group homes?
Well, there has to be some kind of agreement what the provider's going to take care of. Right now, you know, we take care of all appliances, and that I assume that's going to go. Are they going to purchase the appliances that are there, provide their own, or where does that end? That right. seems to be a lot of our expenses is dealing with those kind of issues. And the things that go on in the client's rooms, little things. If that comes out, you know, that takes some expense away from what we do there. And a custodial in the group homes from our side amounts to, you know, outside cleaning of the windows in the group home, and once in a while we do a floor. So that could probably pretty much go away with the providers if they're going to do that sort of thing.
But they may choose to contract for some of that type of service, which is totally not part of our budget here. But it could, if you or any of your staff were contracted to do that, then that becomes a revenue line item. Eventually, that would happen.
Well, I think we need to make the determination.
But we need to make that determination. Yeah.
They do their own housekeeping now.
Right.
So
I would sooner we be more responsible for the building, the physical
Correct.
Building
physical
itself.
Building. Right.
Whatever goes on inside is going to be up to that new provider.
Right.
I'd like to see us keep money, some money, probably not $30,000 in the general repair. I'd like to see us keep the inspections permit, that line item. I'd like us to keep the air filters in our budget, the inspections of the HVAC in our budget. And that's all. That's what I'd like to see. And then we try to get reimbursed in our lease for some of those items. But whoever is utilizing those homes, I think, is responsible for the rest of the items on here. Cal, do you see it differently than that?
No, I agree with you.
So I'm asking that we take the 30 down to 10. So the 30 in general repair, take that down to 10. We leave the 4,100 alone. We leave the 600 alone, and we leave the 850 alone for the air filters. And so, Lisa, you're going to have to help me with what that
850
does.
850 will stay there, and the 600 is back.
Yeah, I've got a 10,000, a 30,000.
15,500, so do you want to round it to 16,000?
Yeah, just make it. Let's make that line item 16,000. And, Cal, we completely recognize that as we truly, we're doing this based on what we think might happen. When we really figure out what happened, we might need to adjust some of these numbers up or down.
Yeah.
I would anticipate come probably early part of February, we'll be sitting down with the new provider.
Okay.
Working these things out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Lisa, you got the $1 million in there. You feel decent about that number. Is that something that you guys can look at a little more as you go through here over the next week or so,
mm-hmm.
Where that needs to be? Cal, garbage service for you. Are we really going to continue garbage service, or is that going to become whoever's utilizing it? I mean, I know we've got to put some in there because there's going to be some clean out
right.
In July. But
that, you know whatever clean out there's going to be, we're going to haul that out in our own
trucks
and dump trucks. Mm-hmm. That, it'd be a little bit of charge for the dump fees, but as far as the actual rental or garbage service, I think should go to the provider.
Yeah, so can we plug $1,000 into that line item instead of 6,700? All right, so the only other line on here, and Cal, I don't think it's yours, but what the household and institutional equipment for $6,000? What is that?
I think that's probably the appliances.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that's what that is. That, mm-hmm. they use
for. All right, so I'm not clear on this. If we continue to own the building and those appliances are in there, we own the appliances. So if they stop working, who's fixing them?
I think the landlord.
I think we got to keep that money in there.
And then at some point, whatever we do with ownership,
we would transfer all of that in as-is condition, and
they
would
all go furnished.
I was going to say, yeah, you could do, I mean, up front, you could do an in-kind, you can have the appliances, but then any upkeep or replacement or maintenance is
right.
The provider's response. Again, it's internal to the what's going on in the group home, I guess is how.
And that would be a good conversation to have with the provider. You know, we're willing to let you have the
but
appliances
then you've got all the
that's in there now, but with the understanding that you're going to be responsible for the upkeep and the maintenance on them.
All right.
And that takes us out of that business.
All right.
Now,
well,
different from that would be the kitchen equipment that's in the admin building.
Right. And but that's not being used anyway.
Right. Right.
But right now we're on the group home.
Right.
Yeah.
Equipment right
yep.
now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Two different things.
Now, when anything like that changes or when the agreements or whatever, whatever is agreed upon, we'll have to look at how we have our liability insurance set up because we insure not only the building but
the contents
of it. So depending on who owns it and what,
yep.
I mean, if they're leasing something, they're going to have insurance on their own, but then we own the building, so we still need, so we'll have to look and see how much. I mean, that's all going to.
Those are a lot of our calls, our appliance calls. So,
let's just keep that in mind when we're talking to these providers or the provider, if we start to focus in on one, Deb, that we, especially for the group homes, we would like to give them the appliances.
Except for, you know, one problem area, a washer or a dryer down at Duluth. Everything right now is in pretty good condition and relatively new, so it isn't like we'd be offering them worn out.
Complete junk, but things are going to break.
Yeah.
They're used a lot.
They are used extensively, and sometimes maybe there's some issues with the clients not operating them.
Oh, yeah, or putting in too heavy or something, because that happens at my house. I try to put a big old comforter in the washer, and I should have taken it to the outside for a commercial laundry. Yeah, so, yeah.
Can we talk on page 63
yep.
about
yep.
the contractual labor?
Yeah, that was one I was sending you guys to deal with when you started to get together.
Yes, I understand that.
Okay.
However, this year there was $300,000 put in there of mental health dollars.
Okay.
For RFP and all that kind of stuff. I haven't seen anything come across my desk. Have we? Who's paying? Where's that going to come from?
Coming out of the regional account.
So the region's paying
for the RFP. The RFP and the consultants that came out of the region's account.
Okay, so I had plugged in county $300,000 here. I assume that's not going to happen then from our funds here.
We're paid up to date with them.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do we have any need outside of the RFP for any contract labor as we wrap up the rest of this fiscal year?
Well, we're
Michelle
paying right above that out of the supplemental fund right now for the Ryan Givens.
Yes. And I would suggest as we talk about next year that stays in there.
Okay.
We need to have $20,000 in there because we just got questions on 13 that are due February 12th. So regardless of my role in all of this, I'll be long gone by the time the questions come in related to some of these cost reports. So it's important, I think, to have Ryan Givens on the hook there to answer those questions long term.
$20,000, is that?
So we reestimated the current year to 20. I think possibly Ryan might have done that. Do you think that's correct?
Is that 18 on him this year, so I think 20 is probably pretty close. Especially if you factor in the additional questions that are going to come in. I think it's going to be cheaper on the front end to do the work because some things we're setting up, I'm meeting with them next week to talk about that. But I think when you factor in the additional questions later, 20 is probably a good estimate for right now.
Okay.
And then as part of this conversation, we're going to have to talk about medical record and what we're doing with that, whether it's going to be a scanning project with an external vendor that needs to come in and do that, or how we're going to choose to maintain those. And that meeting's happening Friday, I believe, for us to try and make up a plan.
Okay.
Related to that. So by next week, if we come back with a budget, we'll be able to, I think, have a better placeholder there.
Lisa, going back to the consultants, that contract was with the region, so that's...
So we can zero out that 300 is what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Anything else, Lisa? Paul Wayne, anything else? Thank you, guys.
No, just more of a, just a comment. Again, Michelle, sometimes maybe you don't hear this enough publicly, but your dedication and commitment to staying here and working for the betterment of the staff, the clients that we serve, and allowing for a smoother transition as we possibly can is so appreciative. On the board, and I know all of the people that you come in contact with staff-wise as well as clients, appreciate a familiar face, a familiar body who understands, you know, them, the programs, the issues. We can't underscore, how valuable we believe, you know, what you're providing, for us. And Chris, we thank you so much too for the role that you're playing in helping us, through this process. We know change is tough on anybody, when the status quo changes dramatically and they have to kind of scramble for the unknowns and what's going to come next. And with all the anxieties, that come into it, it's just not an easy, situation. But I wanted to publicly, on behalf of the board, thank you guys, for the work that you've done to date and continue to impact the lives of people in Story County.
Well said, Wayne. Well deserved. Michelle, I hope this is the hardest thing you ever have to do professionally. We recognize that it's really, really difficult, and we're so fortunate. I don't know what we'd do if you had not committed to stick it out with us, and thank you so much.
You're welcome.
With that, we're done.
Yep.
Thank you, guys. We'll look for the callback.
Okay.